Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Tuesday afternoon to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in Stand in the Gap territory. It's a delight for us to be able to come your way, and we do thank you so very, very much for the pleasure of your company. And we have with us today David Kistler, as always, and Sam Rohr, as always, and I'm Gary Dahl, as always, except for the day that I referred to myself as David Kistler, and I have no idea what happened then. But I'm back as Gary Dahl, and we are also delighted to have with us Jeff Mateer, who is the Vice President and General Counsel of the Liberty Institute, and he can only be with us for the first and second segment of the program today. So we want to get right into discussion with Jeff. Jeff, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today, my friend.
Hey, great to be with you, Gary.
It's always a delight to have you with us. And Sam, we'll turn to you for the first question to get the ball rolling here this afternoon.
All right. Well, thank you, Gary. And it's a pleasure to have you back, Jeff. We've had you on a number of times. And the reason we wanted to get you back now, and again, you've been so busy following the Supreme Court ruling, I really appreciate you working us into your schedule. But I know folks who are listening here will be very, very much benefited by the comments. I want to start out with this, if you don't mind, Jeff. Most of those, like us, you, others that are out there that were concerned about what the Supreme Court might do and then ultimately did relative to their opinion on same-sex marriage, were talking prior to that decision and then increasingly immediately afterward that court ruling would open up a Pandora's box, perhaps, that it would open the floodgates for suits of all types and for all of that kind of thing, and that religious liberty would be greatly jeopardized by that ruling. I'd just like to ask you to get started off right now. Is, in fact, that what we're seeing so far? Bring us up to date on what the climate is out there now, post the Supreme Court ruling where they said same-sex marriage is equivalent to marriage between a man and a woman.
Well, you know, Sam, we did say those things. I mean, we certainly before the decision, we warned that if the court took the step to redefine marriage and define this new definition of marriage, which includes same-sex couples, is enshrined in the 14th Amendment, is a fundamental right, that there would be consequences. But I don't think anybody thought that it would go as fast and as furious as it has. And I was trying to think, it's only 3 weeks ago, right? Although I think in life expectancy, it's probably been in for me 3 months in the amount of time and effort that our team here at Liberty Institute has had to work on matters. On the day of the decision, Sam, we had more phone calls in that single day about people advising us about or asking us questions about, well, what's this mean for my church, than we'd had the prior 3 months. And I'd like to say it was just that day, but it hasn't stopped. I mean, our phone here hasn't stopped ringing because there's a lot of confusion. And I really believe the other side has used this to really seize the moment. And so, yes, it's what we thought. I like your expression, the floodgates being open. Yeah, and as a guy who grew up there in central Pennsylvania near Racetown Dam, it's like the dam's gates have been opened, and the water is pouring through, and we're seeing more and more conflict as a result of the court's decision.
Dave, do you have a question for Jeff?
I do, and Jeff, it sounds like what you're talking about is you've received spontaneous calls from those that would agree with our side of this issue, and that is they would want to see marriage defined between a man and a woman. They're calling to see what the impact of the decision is going to be on them. What I'm wondering is this: are you hearing of, are you being asked to step in defense of ministries who are now being sued as a result of this decision that came out of the High Court? And if so, are those lawsuits that you're hearing about, are they, just seeming spontaneous lawsuits? Or is there, in your opinion, an organized effort on the part of those on the left who want to press the issue and drive this thing down the highway further?
Well, what we're seeing right now in sort of the first wave is attacks against people of faith engaged in primarily two areas. First are those who serve in some function in government, whether it be state or federal. We're seeing that those folks, and I actually do believe that the attacks against our government officials who are people of faith, against employees in government offices who are people of faith, I actually do think there's evidence that is a more coordinated effort. The other area that we're seeing, and it's not necessarily lawsuits, but it's certainly attacks, and where these people are being going to have to make a decision about whether they stand up or not, are in the workplace. We're seeing in a lot of the Supreme Court's decision, in a lot of now the constitutionality of or the creation of a new constitutional right to same-sex marriage, we're seeing people in the private workplace being threatened, being intimidated to go against their religious beliefs.
Jeff, I know there's other questions that Gary wants to ask, but if I could, as a follow-up, very quickly ask you this. Number one, are you familiar with Aaron and Melissa Klein? Have you met them? I know you're not part of their formal legal team, but this that has happened to them, this $135,000 fine that's been levied against them, this gag order that's been placed on them by this gentleman out there in Oregon that's part of their Bureau of Labor and Industry, is that the kind of thing that you're seeing around the country, the kind of threatening scenario that they have gone through? And I'd love to have your take on this. Is there any, from in your estimation, is there any real constitutionality to what is happening to this couple out there and what they're facing in Oregon?
Well, I have met the Kleins, Dave. I've got to spend a little bit of time because they're good friends with one of our clients, Sergeant Monk, who if you recall, Sergeant Monk, and this is before the decision, but Sergeant Monk was relieved of his duties because he disagreed with his commanding officer, who happened to be a lesbian, concerning marriage. And because of their situation, and the Kleins and the Monks have been friends. But that is one of the areas. You know, people who are engaged in the marketplace. In this case, the Kleins have a bakery, and a same-sex couple came to them, wanted them to bake a cake for their wedding. The Kleins respectfully said, we can't participate in that. The result being that charges were filed under the state law up there in Oregon, and now you've got an Oregon official saying that the Kleins have to pay $135,000, which the interesting thing is the people who got that cake, it's not like they didn't get married, that they were able to get married, and two was it's not like they had a wedding and didn't have a cake. They went down the street, someone else baked their cake. But nevertheless, that's not what these issues are about. These issues are about punishing people of faith who actually are exercising their rights.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Jeff Mateer, who is the Vice President and General Counsel of Liberty Institute, about the United States Supreme Court ruling against marriage, supporting same-sex marriage, and how this is encouraging assaults on religious liberty across the nation. And so Jeff is going to be with us for another segment of Stand in the Gap today. So we will take a break. We must pay the bills, as they say. But when that's finished, we will be back with some more in about 4 minutes. So please stay tuned. Don't go away.
I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com. www.thebarkofmichigan.com.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Chances are there'll never be an emergency ever again. But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
Who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. This week is City on the Hill week for us here at Pennsylvania Family Institute. If you haven't heard, City on the Hill is our life-changing Christian leadership and worldview camp for high school teens. And this year, we've got a top-notch group of kids attending from all across the state and some of the best worldview teachers on issues like life, marriage, and religious liberty that you'll find anywhere. We've been conducting this wonderful camp for more than 15 years now, and the fruit in the lives of the young people that attend is nothing short of amazing. If you'd like to help invest in the Christian leaders for the next generation, consider a tax-deductible contribution to Pennsylvania Family Institute and City on the Hill.
The Pennsylvania Family Institute. Protect the family. Preserve the future. We depend on your tax-deductible contributions to fund our pro-family work. Please consider a generous contribution today. You can donate online at pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
A nation of well-informed men who have been taught to know and prize the rights which God has given them cannot be enslaved. It is in the region of ignorance that tyranny begins. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
As stated by Edmund Burke, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing.
Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap today for this Tuesday, and we are delighted to have with us Jeff Mateer. He's no stranger to us here on this program. He's the Vice President and General Counsel of the Liberty Institute. And, Jeff, I can just imagine that since the United States Supreme Court ruled that marriage in the United States of America is okay between a man and a man or a woman and a woman, I can imagine that you have probably been just about as busy during these last couple of weeks as ever in the history of your firm.
Yeah, I think in the history of my 25 years of law practice, I think. I mean, it's just for such a time as this that's what the staff here keeps saying. We recognize more than ever the calling that God has called each of us to here as a team, and it is for such a time as this.
And we are very thankful for people like you and your team who stands up for truth and righteousness from the legal perspective. We were talking in the last segment about lawsuits and, you know, how things were being brought out now as a result of this Supreme Court hearing or decision. I'm wondering if you can provide for our listeners some more examples of some of the lawsuits that have been filed and the implications of each of them as you've been working through them over these last couple of weeks. And where do you think they're going?
Yeah, good question, Gary. I think let me give you two examples, which I think are that kind of highlight the issue of what we're seeing. Your listeners are probably familiar. You've probably heard that there are government officials who, in light of the decision, are now being requested to participate in same-sex marriages. And so one of our cases involves an outstanding woman who's an elected official in Hood County, Texas, which is a county to the south of the Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex in an old historic town called Granbury. And Katie was elected the county clerk there, whose job is to serve as an official in all the records of the county, including in that is she issues marriage license. Well, Katie is a person of faith and strong evangelical believer. And when the decision came down, she knew that she personally could not participate in something that would violate her sincerely held religious beliefs. And so, obviously, when the decision came down, I mean, counties throughout the country were not ready to issue, in those states who had not been issuing same-sex marriage license, were not prepared within hours to issue license. The forms weren't up to date. There was no guidance from state officials, and that was the case in Texas as in other states. And so, a gay couple came in to her to the county offices. They demanded that licenses be issued. She attempted to explain to them first off that she personally could not participate in that. But secondly, I mean, her office was not equipped at that time. Well, the end result is Katie exercised her religious conscience rights to say, I'm not going to be involved in. And as it turns out, one of her clerks was willing and to go ahead and issue it, but couldn't issue the form because it didn't make sense. It asked for a male, female, a husband, wife, and so the forms needed to be done. End result is that within a business day, this couple was able to get their marriage license. Happened to be two men. Nevertheless, they sued Katie because Katie personally wouldn't perform, and claiming that there was a delay. Now this again, they have their marriage license, but they continue to sue, and it's like the situation in Oregon. The people got their cake, but they're continuing to sue. We're seeing, and Katie's just one example of other clerks, other government officials who are being threatened and being intimidated, and in the case of Katie, actually being sued for standing up for her religious beliefs. The other area that we're seeing this occur is in the workplace, and we're seeing men and women who are being challenged in their jobs. And really, the other side's been emboldened by the Supreme Court's decision, and they're being told that on this issue, you better shut up, and you better get on board, or else you're going to suffer employment consequences. One of the cases that we just recently filed involves an employee of Ford Motor Company. I don't know how many of your listeners, or even if any of you guys there drive a Ford, but let me tell you about Ford.
Never would.
He never would. My dad used to have a Ford Escort. He doesn't have one anymore, but he did have an old Ford Escort.
I'm a Christian, Jeff.
We may none of us be able to drive anything, but in the case of Tom Banks, Tom's an engineer. Ford announced that it was going to implement a very aggressive gay, in their words, gay-friendly policy. And then they ask for they tell them what their policy is going to be, and then they tell their employees, and please comment. Well, Tom Banks, in the inner, it was in just in the company, he commented and he expressed a biblical view of marriage and said he didn't think this was a good idea for Ford to be involved in these type of issues. It should be about making cars. It shouldn't be about, you know, involving itself on social issues. Mr. Banks was called in immediately after he had posted the comments into HR. They asked Mr. Banks one question: Was this done by you? He said yes, and they fired him. Well, just a few days ago, we brought a lawsuit on behalf of Mr. Banks because he's been fired because of his religious beliefs, which violates federal law. And we're seeing, I'm getting more and more calls from folks across the country, and I believe employers, certainly corporate America, and as you know, corporate America weighed in heavily on the same-sex marriage case at the Supreme Court. Major corporations across this country weighed in favor of same-sex marriage. And now, in light of the Supreme Court's decision, they're creating a hostile workplace for anyone who disagrees with them. And so we're seeing Tom Banks. We've got another case that we're going to file this week involving a newspaper editor whose media company fired him, again, because of comments that he made in a personal blog defending marriage and defending God's word. He's called in. He's fired. Again, these are just tips of the iceberg. We're going to see more and more of this.
Jeff, can I ask a quick question right here? You mentioned these things. Are you seeing anything arise in the area of Christian schools, colleges, churches, anything in that area?
Well, certainly that the left is saying. We've not seen any lawsuits yet, but we've certainly seen people beginning to question, should Christian colleges have tax-exempt status? The exact same questions that the Solicitor General was faced from Supreme Court justices are now coming out and we're seeing played. I'm seeing arguments against school accreditation, that if you're going to be accredited, then you've got to get along on these issues. I mean, some of the other areas that we're seeing attacks, Sam, are faith-based adoption and foster care providers, saying you can't get funding if you don't have these views. Anybody who receives money, you know, on a federal or state level, a contractor or a grantee, so homeless ministries, if you receive any benefits, those are now being questioning. So the questioning is starting. I think we're going to see the questioning end up into being benefits being denied, and the end result is these ministries are going to need to stand up for their rights.
Jeff, let me ask you here, and I think that what we're going to see down the road is more and more of attack upon Christian ministries, you know, the churches, the schools, and so forth. What must Christian ministries do to prepare themselves for such an attack that may come their way?
Well, I think the main thing is they really need to embrace who they are, and in a way, I think we're going to see to find out who really believes in the Word of God and who does not. Because what I would encourage any Bible-believing ministry is now is the time, if you haven't already done so, you better have your beliefs written down, and they better be very clear. And it's got to be on these issues, not just on same-sex, but all biblical issues. And then they better follow those beliefs. They better act upon those beliefs. That will put you in the best position to defend yourselves. You need to be more religious, not less religious. You need to stay more in tune with your beliefs than less. And when the left comes and says, no, you've got to water down those beliefs in order to get along, actually, it's the opposite. To be more protected, you need to be more religious, and you need to follow those. And so in that way, that we're going to really find out who's with us and who's against us.
Now, do you have any guidelines that you could give churches or schools or Christian organizations to follow in order to bring them along to where they might be stronger in their presentations?
Yes, Gary. Best way is to go to our website, libertyinstitute.org, and there's actually on that homepage, there's a flashing square that says, "Are you protected?" Libertyinstitute.org. Go there. Are you protected?
Jeff Mateer, Vice President and General Counsel of Liberty Institute. Jeff, thank you very, very much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us today.
And always a pleasure.
We'll look forward to maybe having you back sometime in the near future, if that's okay with you.
Take care. God bless, guys.
God bless you. And ladies and gentlemen, I'd encourage you to pray for the Liberty Institute, that God would give them strength and wisdom and direction in this battle. We will be back with more Stand in the Gap today after these messages.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. President Obama is ordering American flags flown at half staff until sunset Saturday in honor of six service members killed in Chattanooga, Tennessee last week.
We will not give in to fear. You cannot divide Americans. You can never change our way of life or the values of freedom and diversity that make us Americans.
The president at the Veterans of Foreign Wars Convention in Pittsburgh. Ohio Governor John Kasich throws his hat into a very crowded ring. The 16th Republican presidential candidate making the announcement at Ohio State University.
My mother used to say that it is a sin not to help somebody who needs help, but it's equally a sin to continue to help somebody who needs to learn how to help themselves. Personal responsibility needs to be restored in our country.
He served in Congress in the 1980s and 90s, now in his second term as Ohio's governor. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Even in evil cultures led by arrogant and haughty rulers, take heart, because God gets the last laugh. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. Though nations seek to establish governments without God, truth, and moral restraint, though evil rulers conspire against God and persecute his people because they remind them of their sin, we should not fret. The King of Kings sits in the heavens and laughs at their futile actions. He scoffs at their puny efforts to challenge his authority. And one day, he'll terrify them in his wrath. He'll rebuke them in righteous anger and in deep displeasure will say to them, "I've given you my Son, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. Kiss him now and serve him with fear and humble submission, or you will perish. For I've authorized him to break you in pieces with a rod of iron." I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network, agreeing with God. The choice in life is clear. Reject Jesus Christ and perish, or trust him and be blessed.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station, WFYL.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today, along with Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr. I'm Gary Dahl. And, you know, man, when we hear Jeff Mateer talking about what is going on in some of the legal cases that they're dealing with there at the Liberty Institute, there's a lot that goes on in my mind, and I'm sure that it goes on in your minds as well. But, you know, let's look at it from the position of the pastor in the church, because after all, we are the American Pastors Network. You know, we are really in serious times. And of course, we so often use that phrase for such a time as this. And we believe that God has us here right now doing what we are doing for such a time as this. What's taking place now with APN is not by accident. God, through his sovereignty, has brought us to this point in order to contend with the issues that are coming up day after day out there in the world. But, you know, as I was listening to Jeff talk there, particularly as we apply it to pastors and churches and Christian ministries, you know, these are days in which we live for churches, for Christians, for Christian ministries to really be alert and prepared and equipped with a solid plan to follow if in the event they really are approached by liberal groups or somebody who's trying to set them up. Sam, we have gone beyond the point of sluggishness in the church, and I'm convinced that if the church is going to continue to exist and fight strong for the truth, we have got to be sober and be diligent, as the Word of God says. And I'm afraid that there are many pastors and many churches who just wink at that and say, well, you know, they're not going to touch me. I'm a work of the Lord. That's a dangerous attitude to take.
Gary, it absolutely is. And I think that Jeff's comment there is something that we ought to really take heed to. And I think you're referencing it. And what he said was the best defense is a clear living as a Christian. In other words, if you want to be able to have the best legal defense to support our religious freedom, the most effective thing you can do is actually live like what it is you say you are. That is a very critical thing. I mean, I think of the book of James, where it talks about, you know, our walk needs to match our talk. When it comes to the matter of the law in defending, it very clearly mirrors that advice, because if you come before the law and you say, hey, this is a matter of my conviction, the first thing you're going to go is to find out whether or not you actually do what you say, because as soon as you evidence you don't, you have no standing and you're done. That's why Jeff was saying what he was saying. So if you are a church, if you are an individual, if we are a family, and we say that we believe certain things, we're a Christian family, well then, father and mother, you had better be living like it in your home. Because if you don't practice, for instance, if you don't practice what the Bible says about debt, if you don't practice about faithfulness with the spouse in the relationship, if you don't practice those basic things that the scripture talk about, family's duty, the husband's role, the mother's role, that kind of thing, then it be going before the court. When you actually do something that you say it's a base of what you believe, you have no standing. I think that is very, 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 very critical. And if nothing else in this program, people walked away from that and saying, am I doing what I say I believe? It is critical. I point one thing here, Gary. Years ago, the Amish here in Lancaster County went before the court because they say they didn't want to participate with Social Security. All right, because they say we take care of our own. They went before the court, ultimately all the way to the top, and the thing that they were examined on were, well, do you actually take care of your own? Well, they were actually able to prove that they took care of their own, and they took care of their mother and their father and their grandchildren, and they were not going to the welfare system, and they were not going to the county and asking the taxpayers to take care of their families. They were doing it, and because they were consistent, they were exempted from Social Security. That's an example of what Jeff is talking about. And I ask us, you know, as you're saying, are we actually walking what we say we talk? We've got to do that.
You know, I remember during the days of the Christian school movement when it was just getting started, and I don't really relish bringing up ancient history, but I do so as an example, just something like you just did there, Sam. And that is that back in the day when the judges were determining whether or not a parent had the right to take their children out of a public school and put them in the Christian school, one of the things that the court really worked on was the matter of conviction. Their underlying point was to the parent, if you are convicted that your children should be in the Christian school instead of the public school, then you've got that right. If it's just a matter of preference, then you don't have that right. And what they did was to gather together some liberal seminarians who knew what kind of questions to ask these Christian parents, Dave. And one of the questions was, there were five of them. I don't remember all five of them. Maybe you fellows remember them. I don't know. But there were five of them. One was, do you believe in the Bible? And of course, they said yes. Well, then, do you ever drive over the speed limit? Do you ever watch television programs that really are not in agreement with Christian teaching? Do you ever look at magazines that really are not biblically based? You understand where I'm going from this? If a person said, well, yes, I've driven over the speed limit. Yes, I watch shows that really are not biblically based. Yes, I've looked at magazines that I shouldn't be looking at. Then the judge would come along and say, well, you know, then you are not living by conviction. You're living by preference. Your child does not have the right to go to a Christian school. And Dave, you know, We just need to realize that as Christians, it's time to live according to conviction, not by preference, and live out every aspect of the Word of God in every aspect of our lives.
My mom and dad were involved in Christian education, and I remember those questions. I remember those lawsuits. I remember all of the scenario surrounding all of that that now seems so distant and in the ancient past. But, Gary, we're back again. You know, everything comes in cycles. And so we are now back at this place again where living our faith is what is required. It's always been required, but now we're going to face litigation over the living or not living of our faith. And I want to say this. I appreciate Jeff Mateer so much. I'm so glad we have a gentleman like him on our team that has the kind of wisdom, and he's incredibly articulate and able to help ministries like this. But gentlemen, the book of James will be lived out now in our lives. Faith without works is dead. We don't work to gain our salvation, but we work and obey the scriptures because we have been saved, and we need to live our faith in an aggressive way. And so these are phenomenal, though difficult, troubling, dark days. They're phenomenal days for us to live our faith out in an aggressive and poignant, powerful way.
We do have a caller on the line, and of course he's been waiting. He's been very, very patient. And Mac, in Broomall, we go to you. Do you have a comment or a question that you'd like to bring before us here this afternoon?
Yeah, it's just with this, in light of just all of the things that I've seen, and I gotta just, you're there for me as brothers in Christ, pastors, and I'm just, what happened in Chattanooga just devastated me. I mean, here you have one of the Marines had two Purple Hearts, and let me turn, if I may use the Navy terminology, the carbon arc searchlight onto something that maybe a lot of people out there don't know. And this is coming from a Persian Gulf veteran, 20 years, special ops, down in Puerto Rico during the Machetera terrorist reign, surviving that. The SEALs talk about going downrange. I was right in the middle of it. And for some of, and I know it's because of God's grace I survived, but I think like an operative. I do that right now. If you've ever watched Act of Valor, it says, there are threats everywhere and the world is draped in camouflage. That is true, and especially in a biblical sense. We have to be on guard. And this is something that a lot of people don't know. When a Marine is deployed in Fallujah or any place like this, he is put in tremendous pressure. He has to make a decision because they're now putting bombs in dogs, in babies, in kids. And if a child approaches them, he has to make a decision. And this Marine told me, it's got to be the right one. Okay, so he's kind to a child. The child's wired to a bomb. He gets blown up. Another kid comes to him. He shoots him, and he's not wired. Then that Marine gets court-martialed. So you have him getting hamstrung there. You have this president hamstringing us here, allowing enemies to just use them for target practice. There was a time when something like this, when the pastors would get together, and this president wouldn't even get that far. He'd be tried for treason. But we have so many ministers, I heard Sam earlier today say, that are just inactive bystanders. And it just throttles me that you hear ministers say, I don't want to get involved in politics. There could be nothing farther from the truth in the Bible. The more, just about every sermon I hear my pastor preach, in one specific, you look at Romans 13, laws mm-hmm. given by men, and the supreme document here is the Constitution. And then it's trashed out, and nobody, and ministers won't hold them accountable for it. And you mentioned about preaching on the Constitution and backing it up and supporting it, and they look at you like you're off in left field somewhere.
That's Jesus right. Well, we're going to have to jump in here with you right now, Mac, because sure. We're just about up against a hard break. But we appreciate your comments. And by the way, you know, we've just heard that the president has decided to ask for the flags, the United States flags, to be lowered to half-mast in honor of those who lost their lives in Chattanooga. Finally, huh? What do you think led into that, men? We'll talk about that when we come back, right after these messages.
As Christian financial advisors, we hold a biblical worldview and teach stewardship as a lifestyle. For over 30 years, we have taught families how to apply God's Word to our daily lives. Our three-day stewardship lifestyle seminars are held in Bible-teaching churches across America. We go far beyond basic budgeting and dig into the meat of Scripture. We believe that principle without application often lead to frustration. This is Roy Russell with the Life Financial Group in Douglasville. We are just west of Pottstown on Route 422. Visit our website or read our weekly blog at thelifegroup.org. There you'll find videos and PowerPoints for our ministry to the local church. In addition to investing and actively managing over $100 million, we prepare hundreds of tax returns for believers around the area. Come in for a second opinion and see how a biblical worldview can positively affect your investing and financial planning. Call us at 610-385-4500. That's 385-4500, or on the web at thelifegroup.org.
Securities offered through Genius Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
A government of laws and not of men. John Adams, 1774.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in eighth grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people. Didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Tune in from 7 to 8 a.m. every Friday morning to hear Gary Porter, Executive Director of the Constitutional Leadership Initiative, Phil Duffy, Constitutional Law Instructor at Widener University, Pastor David Whitney, Senior Instructor at the Institute on the Constitution, and their guests every Friday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. as they explore and help us understand the Constitution, not only as our foundational document, but also as it relates to our lives today. Right here on 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The Resource Library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And as you heard us mention before we went into the break, we've just learned while we were on the air that the president has asked for the American flag over governmental buildings to be lowered to half-mast in honor, in memory, in respect for those who lost their lives down in Chattanooga. And I'm glad that he did that. My question is, why did it take so long? Sam, you may know what kind of protocol it takes in order for a president or a governor or a mayor to call for the lowering of the flag to half-mast, half-staff. But, you know, what's taking place down there in Chattanooga has made me very concerned, sometimes even to the point of being ill, as it relates to our government and some of the things that are being said. You know, I know we've talked in the past about whether or not any service individual, any military man or woman should be allowed to carry a gun on their base, on their installations. I personally think they should be. I mean, they're professionals in handling those weapons. One of the other things that I heard that they wanted people to do down there in the Marines to do down there in Chattanooga is, as they were working around their installation there, not to wear their uniforms. You know, there are some Marines who are saying, well, you know, it's our uniform that tell people who we are. We're not going to take our uniforms off in the face of some kind of a threat. I mean, you know, so, Sam, first of all, what is there some kind of a protocol that a president has to go through before he can ask for the lowering of the flag? Or was this just negligence on the behalf of our president? It takes him the better part of a week to say, let's lower our flags. Couldn't that have been done the very day of the killings?
Well, Gary, absolutely. And frankly, even as of 8 o'clock this morning, the White House was still refusing to permit the lowering of the flag. They have been asked. They were opposing it. Governors, many governors, had already on their own made that determination. Gary, it does not take more than a phone call from a chief of staff, from the president's office, the president himself, or a governor to request or to order that be done. There is no formal protocol. It's just a matter of doing it. And, of course, we've seen it in the past. I mean, it's happened immediately. The case here was that the president has been trying to hold off, and the administration has been saying that, you know, this individual was not a terrorist, was no connection to Islam. They've been trying to sidestep this whole thing, but the American public have been rising up in opposition, and it was really a matter of yielding to pressure, I think very clearly.
Sam, let me ask you this. I don't know if you gentlemen know this, but the flag at the Capitol was lowered to half staff. Just the flag at the White House was not lowered until this announcement just came literally moments ago, as the president was speaking at a veterans event, and he made the announcement evidently at that event. So, I mean, this is absurd. This is absolutely absurd that the president would refuse to do this. And I think it goes to the heart of what you said, Sam. He has done this because lowering the flags to half staff is in some way an admission of something he did not initially want to admit. He's incredibly reticent to admit. And that is, this was indeed an act of terrorism committed by a radical Islamic extremist.
Well, and you know, Dave, you talked about the idea of the flags at the Capitol being lowered. That's because of the leadership of the House and the Senate leading into that, you know.
Correct.
And so that's why they were lowered. This president, Barack Obama, in my opinion, is just destitute in understanding what this nation is all about. And more and more and more, I have to believe in my mind, and I don't want to get too far off the beaten path here, fellows, but, you know, I just have to believe in my mind that President Barack Obama is more interested in seeing the demise of our nation rather than the strengthening of our nation. Sam, how far off course am I in that kind of a statement?
Well, Gary, I mean, I know that those kind of comments perhaps get some folks like, oh, how dare can you say that? But at the same time, we all are given the ability to think. We all are given the ability to say, well, how do we measure the performance? How do we stack up words versus actions? We're talking about that in the other segment of this program, about, you know, if you had to go to court and somebody's, and you said, all right, I am standing up for America. Well, what will your actions prove? The fact of the matter is, unfortunately, it's not there, Gary. So you could say, whether you say in his heart, he's working for the demise, or you could say with clear certainty, the actions certainly lead toward their demise. That for sure. But obviously, our actions are a result of how we think. So that's how those two are logically connected, I think, without making any kind of a inappropriate assumption.
Well, you know, gentlemen, if I could say this, it took the president no time whatsoever to turn rainbow-colored lights on the White House after the decision was made at the Supreme Court. It's taken him five, almost 6 days to do what any normal commander-in-chief would do that loves the military, and that is show appropriate respect by lowering the flag to half staff. So Sam, what you're saying is true. His actions, we cannot get inside his heart and analyze necessarily and critique his attitudes because we're not inside his head and inside his heart. But the fact of the matter is this, his actions belie and betray what's going on inside the very core of this man, and it is not American. Or at least it does not appear to be American, and it certainly doesn't appear to be Christian.
And I contend that he may not have made this statement about the lowering of the flags at all. As you said, Sam, at 8 o'clock this morning, you know, they still refused to lower the flag down at the White House. And I contend that he wouldn't have asked for that at all if he would not have been going to Pittsburgh to meet with a group of veterans or whatever it is out there at that convention. You know, I think all that he wanted to do was to either appease them or maybe under great pressure to do it. If that was not a part of his venue today, I still don't think he'd have done it. And again, I'm maybe shouldn't be thinking that way, but that's just the way this man acts, Sam.
Well, Gary, I mean, it is, and, you know, unfortunately, I mean, again, I think as we get to, you know, come to the close here of the program, it really comes down to this. The way we walk must be reflective of the way we talk. Mm-hmm. Either we are hypocrites or we are actually genuine and transparent. Anyone who says, you know, like the president, I am going to do thus and so with getting into office, whatever it may be. Here's one thing, but here's another action. We must not be led to believe that, well, I hear what he says, therefore I believe it. No, actions are indicators of the proof of what you say. That is just the way it is. So all of our listeners who are listening, all of ourselves, just have to be very, very, very careful of that. Know what we believe and then live it out to the best of our ability.
You know, I think of what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Verse 8 says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. These are times to stand for the truth, to live for the truth, and to proclaim the truth. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord willing, we will be back again tomorrow with another edition of Stand in the Gap. Until then, keep looking up, for we know the best is yet to come. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.